most likely pack up and head south for Tim. They heard tell of some trouble down there. And we're bound for the border with soldier fortune.
Welcome to Talking Giants, presented by SeatGeek. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Penick. And we have our annual June episode where we look at the 2024 free agency class. Get a look at that. We've predicted guys to the Giants the past couple of years, specifically wide receiver. Paris Campbell is someone we talked about last year. Kenny Golladay was a guy we talked about the year before. Remember that Kenny Golladay was actually like a really good wide receiver in the NFL at one point? Crazy stuff. So make sure you pay attention in the wide receiver portion. Justin, how are you?
Bobby Skinner, hello. This is a weekend two, take two of me attempting to go to some sort of race where I'm going to drag racing this week. It's a bunch of drag queens that run in a straight line, and whoever wins at the end, whoever's fastest, that's who wins.
Does John Force still race?
John Force still race. Does. Yes, John Force is still around. The guy's like in his mid-70s, and he straps up almost every Sunday to go over 300 miles an hour and 1,000 feet, which is kind of nuts, kind of crazy. So the weather has screwed me the last week. Hopefully it doesn't screw me this weekend. If you're up in Epping, New Hampshire, come say hi, come say what's up. Bobby Skinner, you're back home from España.
Back in America. It was funny when I landed. Some like college kid behind me, just like greatest freaking country in the whole damn world. It's like, all right, man, can we just land the plane like a normal person.
Was he alone? And he just said
no,
this?
It was like three college kids. Yeah, they could tell they were kind of frat boys.
Yeah.
Which is like, even if you think that's true, that's such a weird thing to say when you land after like assumingly having a vacation or something.
Smell that air. That's American.
But that, you know, I hate flying. It's a. But it was a good trip.
Did you pay the extra $70 for the emergency?
Extra $110. I got into a battle with the person in front of me because they leaned their seat all the way back at one point when I wasn't looking.
And you're like, look at me.
And so I literally was going like this. Just every about like couple minutes, I would just go bam and just shove it really hard. And then once he like, you know, you automatically just put it back to the right spot when you move or something like that. Yeah. So anytime I thought that he might be going to recline it, I would just put my hand up and like, this is not moving back. I mean, I fought that battle hard.
It was a hand fighting drill back in high school, right?
Oh yeah, I won that battle. I will not lose that battle, and I won it.
You lose that battle 9 times out of 10. What movie is that from? Other guys.
The other guys, yeah. All right, let's get into this 2024 free agency preview first. This episode was brought to you by some special people. Matthias.
Kiwanuka.
Matthias is a real name, but it's a name that any friend that you have named Matt, you just call him Matthias because you're freaking quirky. Matthias Farley, Colts. Connor Rush. Cooper Rush's brother.
Really?
Yeah. Stephen Fowler. Dante Fowler's brother.
Yeah. He's a free agent.
And then Colin Doyle rules, Jack Doyle's brother. Justin, who are these brothers?
Wow, look at that. All these wonderful brothers went to patreon.com/talkinggiants. That's right, $2 a month. Plus, you can give us more money if you want, if you're kind of crazy, but there's also some better perks with it too. Bobby Skinner will send you some stickers in the mail. Almost said magnets. That's not right. Stickers in the mail. There's a couple shirt raffles a couple times a month, and you get to hang out with us while we record the shows. Patreon.com/TalkingGiants.
All right, so we're adding a new element to the 2024 free agency preview, Justin. I thought it'd be a good idea. Is wide receivers have been freeing up and being traded, right? Like great wide receivers in the NFL. We only saw one this offseason in DJ Moore, but the year before we saw AJ Brown, Tyreek Hill. So it's not always expected. But we're adding the element of wide receivers that you can see the Giants willing to trade like a first round pick for, which is like a philosophy that I am for. You know, you don't like for like true wide receiver ones, because they don't, those guys don't hit free agency, but if a team doesn't want to sign them, they will trade them. It's just become a position that's been become tradable lately in the NFL and pay dividends for teams. You know, Stephon Diggs was in that, really pay dividends for teams. And, you know, maybe if the Giants are picking in the late 20s again, like, you're not in that position to go get that true blue wide receiver one that I am all for. Like, DJ, if we were able to get DJ Moore for pick 25 and a fourth round pick in this past year, I would have done it, because I don't view it as a win now move. I view it as a for the future, win now, but also for the future move.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you've seen teams that their rosters are at a certain point, and I think that's the, that's the asterisk that's attached to this all, right? I know the Rams didn't necessarily, they didn't trade for that wide receiver, right? But they traded for Matt Stafford. Their roster was in a place where they can do that. The Eagles, they traded for A.J. Brown when their roster was there and ready to rock and roll, right? The Raiders, that's an interesting one. Davante Adams may be on the move again. Certainly the Giants roster, hopefully by this time next year, the Giants roster will be in a place where if they do trade for a wide receiver one, we're being like, yeah, that makes sense, and that it makes sense for where they are kind of like in their timeline.
It depends on the age, right? Like DJ Moore, young. The first guy I'm going to bring up, young. Like, I think it doesn't matter as much where you are as a time on the team. But the second guy I'm going to bring up, it does matter. Like, this, you have to come out of this year feeling like, man, we are really damn close to being a Super Bowl contender, and that wide receiver, that top-notch wide receiver can bring us there. It all has to do with the age. Like, if you're 29, 30, yeah, we got to be feel really close. If you are 24, 25, you know, DJ Moore age, AJ Brown age, then, you know, I don't really care too much where in the timeline you are, unless you are in just full blown total rebuild, like you're going to have top five pick level type guys. So the first guy, and this guy's situation, Justin, to me, looks very similar to the situation that DJ Moore was in within Carolina. We're very productive. Now, I think this guy's better than DJ Moore, and I'm a big DJ Moore fan. I think he's pretty underrated, because he's played in some bad Carolina quarterbacks. But this guy has played with bad quarterbacks. He's on a team that drafted a wide receiver in the first round last year. And just like DJ Moore in 2020, like, if he were to get traded next offseason, it would be the first year of the extension that he signed, right? So, like, we saw DJ Moore sign an extension with the Panthers. He got traded before that officially kicked in to play in that season. The only thing that stops me from saying that this would happen is because it's in division. Terry McLaurin. I think there is a world, because the Panthers' new ownership came in kind of a little too late to probably fire Rivera. Like, I see Ron Rivera probably getting fired this year. Sam Howell's not going to work out. They're going to play Jacoby Brissett. I think it's going to be a little bit of a mess there. And they're going to be, I think they're going to be looking to start totally afresh. Like, the new owner is going to be trying to put his handprints on this. And I can very well see Terry McLaurin being a trade option for the Commanders. The only reason where I don't view it as too realistic is because, again, the in-division stuff with the Giants.
Yeah, and maybe that won't matter to the new ownership group, or, you know, whoever's making those decisions in Washington. But if there's a guy to do it, man, it's scary Terry. And Terry has had some crazy numbers and crazy production despite really not having any good quarterbacks or any, like, real starting caliber quarterbacks throwing him the ball. He really hasn't had one.
Yeah, I mean, they've been new QBs every single year that he's been in there. And he produced right away. I mean, week one as a rookie in 2019, he came in and produced. I think around the league, he might be a little underrated, but because he's in our division, like, we've known since the get off that, hey, this Terry McLaurin kid is legit. Like, I remember the, you know, week four preview in 2019 talking about, hey, Terry McLaurin's pretty damn good. You got to watch out for this kid. And I think he actually missed that game.
He's taken over entire drives, like, especially this past year against the Giants.
He's the only guy to beat James Bradbury in 2021 or 2020.
Yeah. He's taken over, you know, certain games and certain drives against the Giants these past couple of years. And I remember that Sunday Night Football game where I'm like, I remember, oh, Jason Pinnock's having a good game. This guy's having a good, Fabian Moreau's having a good game. And then, oh, well, Terry McLaurin will just kind of take over for a hot second. I understand he's going up against, you know, at the time it probably was like Fabian Moreau, but just changes the game. And he would change the game, and he would be a really productive wide receiver for what's been a really bad offense the last couple of years in Washington. And with, again, no reliable quarterback throwing him the ball, and he's been really good. I think he's do you think he's better than DJ Moore? I say yes.
Yeah, and I love DJ Moore. Like, I'm a big DJ Moore fan. Like, that's why the Bears trade to me was, like, so much more exciting than your regular trade for the first pick. It was like, you got DJ Moore and that draft haul? Like, this is maybe one of the best deals of all time, even though I may not be in love with Ryan Poles as a GM with the Bears. The other guy, like, it would matter where we feel about the Giants in the timeline next year. And this guy obviously would fit like a glove. He'll be 30 years old with 2 years left on his contract, and that's Cooper Kupp. Rams, we don't see that situation getting any better before – we see that situation getting worse before it gets better. Will be 30 years old, but, man, this coaching staff would – I mean, he's like their dream wide receiver, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
He's like a dream wide receiver for Daniel Jones, too, by the way, who's like, there's so much timing stuff. He's going to be a great blocker in the run game. Got a little banged up this last year. So, I mean, if he could be in a Darren Waller situation where it's like, it doesn't even take a ton to trade for him, or an Amari Cooper, like, where it's like Terry, you trade for Terry McLaurin, you're trading a first and some other pick minimum. With Cooper Kupp, I don't know if it would take, like, the world to trade for him.
This is a guy whose average separation was 3.6 yards in 2021, which is absurd, with the relatively low cushion at 6.5 yards average. 31% of the team's air yards in 2021, and he's not really a kind of a deep threat guy. Plus a positive yards after the catch over expectation too, with over one. So yes, this. I mean, if you like, you know how we've talked, and we have to do this because this is a Giants podcast with Giants comparisons. You know how we talked about, oh, Sterling Shepard and Daniel Jones have great chemistry. They find each other. They move the chains. Sterling Shepard is a smart route runner. Well, Cooper Kupp can be that as long as his health holds up. You know, times a thousand, yeah. And on crack.
Yeah. And again, he's just like literally, he is like a dream wide receiver to have in an offense when you want to run some complex stuff and it's not just your base stuff.
Yeah. Do you think his game is kind of like, I don't want to say age proof. You saw Wes Welker kind of be good, kind of into his 30s. You know, I could just be making that comparison because, you know,
I mean, he does create big plays. Like, he's not Wes Welker, right? Like, he creates big plays. So I can see him playing well, but I don't know if it's like what he did in 2021 was absurd. I mean, I think did he break the receiving record that year, or was it second to the Calvin Johnson? It was either second or he broke it. I can't remember exactly.
Are we looking for catches?
No, yards.
I have that too. I have 145 catches and 1947 yards.
Yes, I think Calvin Johnson. I think that was second to Calvin Johnson.
75% catch rate too, which is
Super Bowl MVP insane. was just nuts. So you can see him being traded and not for the world. Is there any wide receivers that you targeted that you can see as possible trade targets?
Yeah, I know it's a stretch, but this is a team that may be running out of money. Jaylen Waddle. Obviously he can just hit free agency too. And the Dolphins could be at a point in their roster where even after this year, hey, we still feel like we can swing it here. But if stuff falls apart with Tua this year and his health diminishes, or they don't want to bring him back for whatever reason, I don't necessarily see it going down that route. It would have to go pretty dark in Miami land for them to make a determination to not bring back Tua, especially after last year. But Jaylen Waddle is a possibility.
The only reason I wouldn't say is because he'll have 2 years left when you include the fifth year option, and you probably get the same trade package a year later if they were at that. I just don't know if
you're right. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I thought 2024 was the fifth year option. It's not. He was drafted and got it. So 1, 2, 3, 4. 2024 will be the fourth year plus the fifth year option. Yeah.
What about T. Higgins? Like, the Bengals have kind of said, go get your own T. Higgins, but yeah. He still hasn't gotten a deal.
Well, now we're at the point where now we're talking free agents, where T. Higgins is going to be a free agent in 2024, I believe.
There's no way they just let him walk, so he'd either be tagged. So he would have to be like an in-season trade candidate if something went bad with the Bengals this year, like Joe Burrow got hurt or they just ended up sucking. T. Higgins was traded, had to be this offseason, which, again, this offseason is not over, but I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I don't see it happening either.
Was there any others?
No other trade candidates for me. I mean, the NFL changes so fast. That's why I brought up, you know, Jalen Waddle, because the NFL changes so fast. You could be sitting there saying, oh, no way, Justin, you're crazy. But the NFL changes very fast, and situations and things change very fast. Davante Adams is another one, too. Like, why not? You know? So, we'll see.
All right, let's just get into free agents. Before we get into the free agents portion of this, today's episode is sponsored by SeatGeek. If you don't know what SeatGeek is, they're a ticketing app that makes buying tickets super simple. With over 28 million downloads, SeatGeek is the number one rated ticketing app. There are more than 70,000 of events every single day on SeatGeek, including sports, concerts, festivals, and more. They always want to make sure that you're getting a good deal. So when you're on the app, look for the green dots. Green means good, red means bad. Every ticket is backed by their buyer guarantee, and SeatGeek is the only site that lets you return your tickets ahead of the event with swaps. And guess what, guys? We've got the hookup. Use code GIANTS for $20 off your first purchase at SeatGeek. That's $20 off your first purchase with promo code GIANTS. Click the link in the description to download the app. SeatGeek, man, you will freaking be so glad that you did.
Incredibly.
So glad that you did. All right. Let's talk about wide receivers. Wide receiver free agency really is never good. Like, good wide receivers just don't make it to free agency unless there's, like, baggage with them. So, like, Michael Pittman Jr. is set to be one, but is there any world where the Colts let Michael Pittman Jr. walk?
You know, bad quarterback play over there in Indianapolis again. I drafted Michael Pittman Jr. in fantasy last year thinking that, oh, Matt Ryan makes wide receiver ones. Well, bad team, bad system, bad everything over there. I think if Michael Pittman Jr. hits free agency, that means that he struggled with injuries this year, and it was bad. And it's almost like a Kenny Galladay type of year where he just doesn't do anything. But still, I mean, you have a quarterback on their rookie deal in Indianapolis. You would think that they would maybe want to lock up, you know, a guy that can be a wide receiver one.
Yeah, I just don't see it. And like you said, if it's that bad where they do let him walk, I don't know if I want to touch Michael Pittman Jr. if he's like that injured where the Colts are letting him walk. So the names just aren't sexy. Like, the sexiest name could be Curtis Samuel. And again, he kind of fits into like that solid, like that middling to good wide receiver. You know, he had, you know, 650 yards this past season at 64 catches. Was injured in 21, but he's been healthy for the most part the rest of the season. He's got that outside-inside flexibility, which the Giants like. And Paris Campbell, his contract expires, right? And if they want to make an upgrade there, Curtis Samuel could be the guy you identified to be like the Paris Campbell upgrade. You know, Isaiah Hodgins will be a free agent. Sterling Shepard will be gone. So really, Slayton, Wandale, and Hyatt will be the guys you have under contract. So if you want to make an addition to that room without drafting someone high, I think Curtis Samuel could possibly be that.
Yeah, and Curtis Samuel is mostly a slot guy too. I like him. You know, he's kind of like that gadgety. I mean, let's be honest here. You know how tall Curtis Samuel is?
I think he's 6 foot.
Six foot? All right, so Wandale's definitely a little bit short. But I would say based on just play style and overall kind of production so far in his career, I hope that Wandale Robinson can maybe grow into like a Curtis 5'11". Samuel type of player. How tall is Curtis Samuel?
5'11". 5'11". Yeah, I think Curtis Samuel is just kind of a better like athlete than Wandale and a little taller.
I hope he can grow into that kind of
into the
player.
Slot into the slot role. Yeah, where Wandale is kind of limited to the slot. So Curtis, yeah. Well, so and again, Wandale is kind of like a wild card for this team for like this season and the future. Like, what does he end up being?
Yeah, you hate to be like Wandale, like put pressure on Wandale Robinson, especially coming off the ACL, and even when he struggled with injuries even before the ACL last year too, and he didn't get a ton of reps. So this year is still pseudo like his rookie year, sort of. You hate to put all this pressure on Wando Ramza, but there kind of is, because, you know, this offense has got to go, you know?
Yeah, and had their only regular season 100-yard receiving game, literally got hit in that mark on the play that he got hurt. So it's what Wandale Robinson's such a weird, like what does he end up being for this team? Does he end up being like a, like you could, yeah.
I have another slot guy. Same team as T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd. I definitely think that Tyler Boyd is going to be hitting free agency.
I love Tyler Boyd. How old is he now?
Big Tyler Boyd guy. That is a good question. Tyler Boyd, always been productive out of the slot, and always, he catches a low-key, a good amount of deep balls, too. Like, I've known that he's both efficient, and he catches those deep balls.
He'll be 29 next year.
He'll be 29. So, he has a career 68.1% catch rate. His average depth of target over the last couple years, last year was 9.2, up from 7.7, 8.5. So, you know, he's an intermediate guy, but he also gets yards after the catch, 4.3, 5.8 the last couple years. And he doesn't really drop a lot of balls. 2021 didn't drop a single one, and 3.7% in 2022. So that's really, really darn good. I've always been a huge Tyler Boyd fan. Obviously not going to come in here and be a number one, but I think he is a very, very good compliment. And he's been a good compliment for years, even before Cincinnati really came, like, you know, came to the party with Burrow and Chase and everybody like that.
Oh yeah, he's been really solid, and then but gets overshadowed because he's on a team with Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, right? But Tyler Boyd is very, very good. Lesser names. KJ Osborne from the Minnesota Vikings, Miami guy. The past 2 years, he's had 650 yards and 655 yards, 5 touchdowns, 7, 12 touchdowns over the last 2 seasons. The Vikings just drafted Jordan Addison. Obviously, they have Justin Jefferson. So that could be an option there where he's, you know, kind of in a stopgap type role. Mecole Hardman might end up being on this list every single year for us, because I think he's going to be a one-year contract type guy for the until he's 32 years old with that speed and return ability. Boy, he just got he got $4 million from the Jets. And I'm not even a big Mecole Hardman fan, but you can see that making sense. Other KJ Hamler. He's been injured a lot, bad quarterback play, but it seems like every time I'm watching him, he gets open. He's just had some bad quarterback play, and he has a drop issue that shows up in the numbers. Remember week one, hit broke open versus on a post route because McKinney on a bad McKinney made the wrong read on it and just dropped it. Yep. And then I think they had a hit a big play and also the next play. So KJ Hamler could he's probably going to get towards the minimum type contract, and I could see them liking him, you know, former second rounder out of Penn State.
One more guy that I want to bring up. I've heard this coaching staff talk about this guy more than any other player in the National Football League, especially in comparison to Jalin Hyatt, and it was this past draft season. Gabe Davis from the Bills is going to be a free agent next offseason. The Bills are obviously, you know, in a situation where they're trying to swing, they're trying to go for it. You know, they could be in a sticky situation money-wise, and I can imagine that they will try and do everything that they can to keep Gabe Davis around. I think that they like him just as much as the Giants do, because, hey, they literally come from the same building, right? But if Gabe Davis does hit the open market, I can see Joe Shane, the Giants, I could see them being in.
Yeah, and I can also see the Bills being in a situation where they're trying to really upgrade the wide receiver room. So they're looking to get like a top end wide receiver too, and Gabe Davis isn't that. Now, Gabe Davis has had this happens with a lot of fan bases with players. He was overrated at one point, and now he's become a little underrated. He dealt with some drop issues this past year, and didn't have the highest just catch rate when he was targeted. But Gabe Davis is a solid player in the NFL. He's not a great player, but he's a solid player in the NFL. Brings that size. You don't know what's going to happen with Isaiah. Who gets a bigger contract, Isaiah Hodgins or Gabe Davis? Because I think I'd probably just want to roll with Hodgins.
Oh, well, Gabe Davis is definitely getting a bigger contract.
Could you see a wild world where Isaiah Hodgins has more receiving yards than Gabe Davis next year?
Let's look this up here. I can't believe this question.
I'm just throwing it out there because Isaiah Hodgins' stock is very high right now in Giants land.
Gabe Davis has 599, 549, 836 receiving yards over the last 3 years. 836 this past year. I can't see.
Hodgins had over 100 yards in the playoff game versus the Vikings.
That's why this wide receiver room is so fascinating this year. It's so fascinating because there's so many guys.
Who do you think leads the Giants in receiving this year?
Who do I think leads?
Yards. It's
Darren Waller does not count.
No, out of wide receivers. Yeah, I'm looking at Hodgins' stats again. There's no way that he's having more than Gabe Davis.
I still think it's Slayton. Who had more? You're a big rate guy. If Hodgins played a full 16-17-game season, do you know what his numbers look like?
I can't do the math very quickly right now.
I can't believe we haven't done this yet.
It includes... I doubt it. I mean, he only had one game in the regular season over 50 yards, and it was the Vikings game. So I don't see it. I don't think so.
Yeah, I thought that was a wild question. I'm going to be honest. Yeah.
I'm just throwing it out there because the Isaiah Hodgins stock is higher than it's ever been.
It's true.
And he's probably a little bit of a cleaner route runner than Gabe Davis is, but it's like Gabe Davis' stock is as low as it's ever been, and Isaiah Hodgins' stock is... Yeah, Bills fans are not very high on Gabe Davis right now.
Gabe Davis can get a contract right now just based on that playoff game 2 years ago.
I mean, he's created big, but he just has not been a consistently good wide receiver for the Bills. Like, he's had some down moments.
I think they love him, though. I mean, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, I mean, they have went out of their way at times to talk about Gabe Davis. And I'm like, why are we talking about Gabe Davis here?
That's true. Offensive line, Justin. I could see this being where you can get a prized possession, big money free agent.
Guard.
Now, you're not going to sign a tackle.
Hopefully
you're not going to sign a center.
Hopefully not.
At least not as starters. But from the Patriots.
Ooh.
Guy had an awesome year. First year where he just got to play one position. His first 2 years in the NFL, he played 3 games at left tackle, 9 games at left guard, 17 games at right tackle, and 2 games at right guard. But this year, he started every game at right guard. He had the fourth best in pass block efficiency, so just sacks, QB hits, and pressures per pass blocking snap. And that's Michael Onwenu out of New England, who was, I think he was a fifth-round draft pick out of Michigan in the 2020 draft. The Patriots are the team that lets guys walk. They let guys walk. They let Joe Tooney walk a couple years ago. Michael Onwenu, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, that could be the prize possession of the 2024 free agency for the Giants. You know, Mark Lewinsky will probably be gone. Ben Bredesen will be a free agent. Hopefully Josh Jejudu develops, but you don't have any surefire starters for the 2024 season locked up for the Giants right now.
No, and here's my question to you. Lewinsky came in as a good run blocker. And we were like, we'll see in pass pro. And usually if you're saying we'll see in free agency, because usually free agency is the time of the year where you're like, oh, this guy's going to be good. If we're saying we'll see in pass pro, and like when you're in free agency, and then we saw what Mark Lewinsky was this past year in pass pro, and it just was not good. Are you at a point where we're talking about free agent offensive linemen, especially when we're talking about we're signing you to be a starter? Are you prioritizing... like, hey, I want to see you just be a really good pass blocker, and we'll live with everything else if it's average or not good. Because I feel like having an offensive lineman, especially an interior offensive lineman, that just tanks you as a pass blocker, it tanks an offense.
Yeah, I mean, to me, to be like a big money free agent signing at the guard position, like I got to be really confident in you as a pass blocker.
So even if that comes at a little bit of a sacrifice of, hey, maybe you're not the best athlete, or maybe you're not the best run blocker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think I'm there too.
I mean, Michael Onwenu, like, he might be the Patriots' best player in offense. Like, who on that offense is a better player than him?
That's a tough question. for the Patriots.
Yeah. They really are bad offensively. I actually think the Patriots are going to get back in the playoffs this year, just because at least they'll have Bill O'Brien at OC, and then their defense is just always going to be good.
They put out a socials clip today of Mac Jones to Tyquan Thornton.
And, oh, yeah, it was edited.
And somebody... It was?
Yeah.
I didn't watch it long enough to really, like...
Well, other people pointed it out. Like, it was edited. Like, Mac Jones was throwing to the left, and the pass was on the right.
Oh, jeez, they edited
it. It looked a little bit... Yeah.
In the same division as Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and, you know, Stephon Diggs, and Aaron Rodgers, and Garrett Wilson... The Pats are going to be rolling out Tyquan Thornton, Mac Jones, baby. Let's go. And they'll still somehow sneak into the playoffs, like you said, because that's just what Bill Belichick does.
Yeah, I do think they're going to get into the playoffs. Other offensive lineman, there's nothing out there. Damian Lewis out of LSU, who had a bad – he had a bad start to his career, which, again, guards do, especially the Damian Lewis types, where it's a little bit of plotters but are strong as hell.
He's big.
He really improved this past year as a pass blocker, which is – You know, you see that with guards, you know, and it's why drafting guard can be a little worrisome, too, because there's, you know, the phrase like, hey, you might be drafting someone else's player, because by the time they're good, they're hitting free agency. But Damian Lewis he's improved a lot for the Seahawks, and he's strong as hell. I think he had like the highest bench. We're in a spot now as these free agencies making it a lot easier where we're talking about guys we previewed in the draft.
Oh.
And then another guy who I actually think I had him in my like as like a fifth or sixth rounder in the mock draft for 2020, Jack Driscoll, who's been like a swing tackle guard for the Eagles. Now he hasn't been very good, but has been like the first guy up for them on the Eagles on a great offensive line. Now has not been good when he's played, but again, I'm viewing him as like a backup, maybe compete with our worst starter type guy.
I thought about that recently, about how, you know, I think covering the rest of the league, quote unquote covering, I hate that word, you know, talking about the rest of the league is going to get a lot easier the more and more that we do draft stuff, because it's like, oh well, we know what this guy maybe was coming out of college, and is he good in the NFL or is he bad in the NFL? Why is he good? Why is he bad? What went wrong? So I'm actually really looking forward to that. A guy that I have, I had Damian Lewis as well, offensive guard from Seattle. I also have Jonah Jackson, and it's funny, I include Jonah Jackson. He's a guard from the Lions. He is along with a lot of some of their other offensive linemen, not that great of a pass blocker, but a solid run blocker. So that's why I kind of had that conversation before, where it's like, you know, even if you have like an overall maybe good offensive lineman, specifically for the Giants, are we willing to sacrifice? Like, are we willing to sacrifice one area for the purpose of having for the sake of having a good pass blocker? So,
well, it depends what your contract is. I don't think Jonah Jackson is not going to get the Michael and Wainu type contract, right? So again, yeah, contract matters. So like, if we're signing Jonah Jackson to a 1-year, $3.5 million deal, okay. No, if we're signing him to $9 million a year, then it's different, obviously. Was there any other offensive line?
No.
I didn't even look at tackle, even though like swing tackle could be in addition. Can we say something about swing tackle? Because when people remember how like I got like really like swing tackle is an issue for the New York Giants in training camp, where I was like, this is really bad. If Thomas or Neal go down, it's a disaster. Are you okay with Tyree Phillips as a swing tackle?
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah,
I am too. Like, he gives you a lot more, like, you know, again, not a good player, but again, we're talking about backup offensive linemen. It's hard to find good starting offensive linemen, so the backups aren't going to be good players, but just don't be a total disaster. I'm fine with Tyree Phillips's the swing tackle.
Yeah, especially since we saw him last
halfway
year.
Halfway through training camp, when Gano retired because of the neck, Parrott wasn't back. I mean, there was a day in camp, Justin, where Josh Azudu and Marcus McKeithen were the backup offensive tackles.
Yeah.
Where it's like, if one of these guys goes down, it is a flat-out disaster. Like, this offense can't operate if one of these guys gets injured. And obviously, Evanil wasn't even good. But, yeah, I'm kind of fine with Tyree Phillips as a swing tackle. All right. I wanted to go to edge before we go to quarterback and running back. There's a lot of names. Huh?
We gonna talk about tight ends?
I didn't. I actually I usually try to find someone at every position. I didn't even pick a tight end because I there can be a guy who's like a blocking only type guy, but it's like it's hard to identify how good the third string tight end for the Jaguars.
I thought the most significant one would be like Irv Smith Jr. But I mean, again, that's a guy that's starting on some teams. So
yeah, who is he on now? Isn't he on the Bengals?
Last time, I mean, he was on the Vikings. Did he sign? He's probably on a one-year deal this year.
I think he signed on the Bengals. That's a speed guy, which is like, if we have Darren Waller, I don't know if I...
That's a fun fit. That's a fun fit.
I don't know if I want to add another speed non-blocker if we have Darren Waller on the roster. Again, my it's funny. My position, view on the tight end room was like, I don't need the fastest guy in the world. I just need you to be good all around, right?
Yep,
I need
you
to be solid all around.
Well, you got the fastest guy in the world.
But I always said, with the exception of if you're not a good blocker, you're like a top 3 to 5 receiving threat, and we literally traded for one of those guys. It's like, okay.
How do you like that?
How do you like that? How do you like them apples?
Can I tell you what I like?
What do you like?
I like DraftKings.
DraftKings.
I like DraftKings Sportsbook. Because I'm ready to hit one out of the park this baseball season. The NBA Finals is happening too, DraftKings. What are we doing? Who's one of the finals?
Nuggets and six. Oh, I forget. Yeah, Nuggets and six. Man, I've been so out of the loop because I was in Spain, so the time zone. I didn't watch any of the conference finals, which makes me feel like a bad basketball fan, but I was like, you know what? I'm enjoying my time too much to give a shit about this.
That Celtics-Heat game six was nuts.
I didn't watch any of it. But I'm gonna go Nuggets and six.
Nuggets
the Heat
and
just
six.
Don't have the talent. But they've gotten here without the talent too. So, but
I'm kind of rooting for the Heat because it's underdog, and you know now I feel like we're finally out of the phase where only the superstars and the super teams make it. Like the Nuggets have been a team that have just kind of grinded it out for a long time. The Heat and Spoelstra, you know, that's coaching, and you know with Riley they just built an overall good complete team, and Jimmy Butler showed up in the playoffs. I'm kind of rooting for the Heat, but
I am rooting for the Heat.
But seeing Jokic, like he's like the superstar right now. Like, that would be cool to see him win one, though. I'm going to hit it out of the park, though. Baseball.
I think it'd be cooler to see Jimmy Butler win a title than Jokic.
That is true. He doesn't have... I always think that he has one, but he doesn't. DraftKings Sportsbook. Bet on NBA, bet on baseball with everything. With everything DraftKings. New customers can place a $5 bet and get $200 in bonus bets instantly, plus all customers can take a shot at bigger payouts with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up with the code WORLD. Talking Giants versus the world. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code WORLD only on DraftKings Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in Massachusetts. Call 800-327-5050. Visit gambling.help.com. ma.org in New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance, opt-in to Temples. Jesus, what the fuck is
this? This is disgraceful. I can speed read this.
I can't because I also don't have my glasses on. Opt-in and 10-plus leg requirement for 100% boost. Eligibility wagering and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/baseball terms. You'll be glad you did.
You'll be glad you did. I also am a fan of I'm a fan of Heat culture, like the stability of like Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra. And I like to see like a franchise, like have a new franchise that wins championships over different eras, right? Like the Wade Shaq got a title, obviously the LeBron, the big three era title, but then getting another title. So I kind of like a new team coming into like the Lakers Celtics reign where it's like, hey, they've won titles through different eras with the Heat.
Yeah.
But here's a question. It kind of got like people hated that it was like the NBA got a little too predictable on who was going to be at least be in the finals. You know, we had Cavs Warriors for 4 straight years. Or that I kind of missed that a little bit where it just made the finals feel like a bigger deal. I mean, we had LeBron in it for 8 years in a row. I don't know. The older I get as a sports fan, the less I'm rooting for the underdog, where I'm more like, I just want to have like memorable teams and players and moments.
Yeah, it's cool. Like I said, it's cool to see like the Heat and Nuggets, but it would be a spectacle event every year that LeBron and Curry would be in the final against each other. It would be an event.
Yeah. Like Lakers Celtics would have been a much bigger deal, right? Like they probably almost, they might get double the viewership for these games if it was that. Here I was thinking we weren't going to be able to fill enough time in this episode, and I'm like, now I don't know if we will have enough. Edge. I want to skip over some offensive positions we'll hit later to hit on Edge. There's a lot of freaking big names in this, Justin. Za'Darius Smith, he'll be age 32. He played under Wink with the Ravens. He had 10 sacks, 24 QB hits, and 37 pressures last year. Really good. Danelle Hunter, he'll be 29. He had a great year for the Vikings as well. Josh Allen. What do the Jags do with Josh Allen? You know, they drafted Trayvon Walker 1-1. He had 40 pressures in 2022, 10.5 sacks. Like had 7.5 sacks. Like he's been a good player.
Where are the pressures coming from?
Josh Allen.
No. What site?
Pro Football Reference, which again, that's a lot. That might have been the most pressures in the league on Pro Football Reference.
And he had 10 sacks?
7.5.
What? That's actually really freaking crazy.
Yeah.
All right. So that's a guy. I mean, if that was last year and this is a contract year, I am circling Josh Allen to have like over 10.5 sacks. If there's like a prop bet or anything, like he's getting over 10.5 sacks. And, you know, hey, it'll be a big analytics L if he doesn't. So,
Yeah, like
that's nuts.
Did Calvin Ridley sign an extension with the Jags yet?
He did not. He is going to be a free agent, but I didn't.
So they might not have the franchise tag to use on Josh Allen.
I didn't talk about him because if they let him walk for that, they're not doing that.
Yeah. So, but he might be on the franchise tag.
Yeah.
Because he kind of like a Leonard Williams situation where it's like you traded for me, like I have leverage.
Yeah.
Here's two, play for the same team. Montez Sweat will be a free agent. Has not been signed. They've $40.5 million average annual value between Jonathan Allen and Deron Payne on that D-line. Also, what happens with Chase Young? Like, Chase Young's got his fifth-year option declined. Isn't that kind of wild? Like, yeah. I know last year he did not come back from the injury, which is like, what the hell happened there? Like, they must not like him as a person to decline his fifth-year option.
Yeah, that's kind of nuts.
What happens with Chase Young?
Like going because from this like, generational, you can't miss this prospect. And I think the only reason why teams passed up on him is because they took quarterbacks.
He went second overall after Joe Burrow.
Second, so not even third. Generational, and it depends what happens this year. I'm just interested to see how he comes back as a player missing an entire year.
Yeah, I mean, he was like a Myles Garrett type prospect coming out of Ohio State, and he won Rookie of the Year. I thought he was a little overrated that season, but it's like when he's played in the NFL, he has not been a bad player. He hasn't been as great as people have hyped him up to be yet, but like he's going to be a free agent, right? Like he's probably not going to be on the Commanders in 2024. Like what happens? Like I wish he was on a different team, you know, not in division, because I do want to like see him do well, right? Because he has all the ability to be just freaking amazing. Like what stopped him from coming? Like there's more there to be seen with Chase Young.
Yeah.
Like is he committed type stuff for him to get his fifth year option declined to not come back from that injury over, you know, a year later.
2020 draft class has some of two of the most athletically freaky players that we've seen in a while, like Chase Young and Mekhi Becton, and both of them have like similar fates where they just like can't get on the field. It's crazy.
Yeah. 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 Like Becton's film when he plays is amazing. Just can't be on the field where they decline his fifth year option. Another guy from that first round of 2020 who's just not played and not been very good, Kalavon Chasen. It's kind of been... It's one thing to not be good. It's kind of crazy how bad his numbers are.
You have 3 career sacks?
Yeah. And he played a lot his rookie year. The Patriots let guys walk. Josh Uche had 11.5 sacks this past year. 25 pressures, 14 QB hits. And then You know who had a sneaky decent year three? AJ Epenesa. Now, when he played 38% of the snaps, he was a rotational player, but as a rotational player, he had 6.5 sacks, 7 tackles for loss, 10 hits, and 14 pressures.
I think he trimmed up a little bit. I think he lost a little weight, maybe got a little faster.
Obviously, Joe Shane was part of the assistant GM that drafted him highly in the second round, so there was something they liked in him. So, Epenesa, who's been a rotational player, that could be someone you bring in. I think he'd be a hell of an upgrade over Jahad Ward as your third edge.
Yeah, I think that's where we're looking right now. We're looking for edge number three. Obviously, we're hoping for Aziz Ojulari to kind of, stay healthy this year and have that dominant year that he was going to have last year if he did play. But even just from a philosophical standpoint, Bobby, I'm very against giving edge rushers big money because unless it's in-house and you're extending somebody. But going out there and giving somebody on the open market a big-time contract that kind of resets the market a little bit or give them a lot of guaranteed money, I'm very anti and against doing that.
Well, it's because great edge rushers usually don't hit free agency.
Right.
If you're a great edge rusher, your team is re-signing you. The people on this list that I see falling in that category is Montez Sweat. I don't see him walking. Josh Allen, I don't see him walking either.
Danelle Hunter is going to get more money than what I'm comfortable willing to give.
He'll be 29. Hunter is the one where I could see giving the money to.
He had a really good year last year.
Hunter is the guy. Those three names are the ones you get if Aziz Ojulari is injured like crazy again. And it's like, okay, we have
sure.
Not we don't need a third edge. We need a real upgrade as a starter. And those are the names I have there.
I have three, but I want to revisit one that we already talked about. Bud Dupree, a guy that's kind of been around in the run-of-the-mill a little bit. Carl Granderson is a big edge from New Orleans. So I don't know if he would necessarily be a fit for the Giants as he's like 261 pounds. And I know Wink Martindale likes the athletic kind of guys. Jahad Ward's pretty big. But I want to talk about Chasen for a second. Because I feel like Wink Martindale may look at the athlete and be like, yeah, let's just get him in here and cause havoc. And he's been so bad that it literally can't be worse for him. And he's not going to get a big contract, but I can easily see Wink Martindale being like, I want an athlete like that here just to see. And I'm saying this without watching film, and I'm saying this without really knowing what happened with Chasen, but just knowing his draft profile of speed, 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 athleticism, athleticism, I'm thinking that's something that a coach would want to get their hands on.
And he's probably going to get a minimum contract too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would love, that would be a fun one to bring in without much expectations, though. All right, so we got to go a little quicker with these. I really was worried that this would be a 35-minute episode, and here we freaking are. Quarterback, Tyrod Taylor will be a free agent. Marcus Mariota, Sam Darnold, Jameis Winston, Drew Locke, Baker Mayfield, Colt McCoy, Gardner Minshew, Tyler Huntley. Which out of those is your favorite?
Can I just tell you what I want the Giants to do?
Say which one of those is your favorite.
All right, give them to me again.
Will Tannehill be a backup at that point?
No. He would be. He's better than Tyrod Taylor, but no.
Jacoby Brissett, no. Marcus Mariota, Sam Darnold, Jameis Winston, Drew Locke, Baker Mayfield, Colt McCoy, Gardner Minshew would be a good one. So there's going to be a lot of decent backup QB options out there.
I love Jacoby Brissett.
Me too. He actually had a pretty underrated year for the Browns.
He was
top 10 in EPA per play.
He was an average, almost above average starting quarterback in the National Football League last year, and it's not talked about.
Yeah. Yeah. Browns had such a weird year with the Deshaun Watson stuff.
That's going to blow back in their face.
I probably would do what you're about to say that you probably want the Giants to do.
Yeah, what I want, Tyrod Taylor has a $5.5 million cap hit this year. I kind of want the Giants to extend him. You can lower the cap hit this year a little bit and extend his contract.
Extend it to what, though?
if they want to I am of, since the Giants are now at a point where we're not, you know, we're expecting them to win more than seven games or below, right? We're expecting them to win more than seven games. I'm at the point where I am okay with investing a little bit in the back quarterback. Now, I know $5.5 million, that may be, Tyrod Taylor may be one of the more, if not the most expensive backup quarterback in the National Football League this year. But if you change that and if you give him the security of extending him, I'm okay with finding that middle ground between spending a little bit on backup quarterback, but not spending, you know, the most out of any other team in the NFL.
Like Mariota, I don't even know if I like him as a backup. Jameis would be a decent backup. Minshew's probably the best backup in the NFL.
Tyrod Taylor's the best option, I think, for us. He knows the system. He would come in, you know, do all right. I just hope that they extend him, because I think having that $5.5 million cap hit, unless they plan on, okay, Tyrod Taylor, we're going to say see ya, sayonara next year, and then we're just going to spend dirt cheap on a backup quarterback, which part of me is also fine with that, because I think your season is over. If Daniel Jones is done for an extended period of time, I kind of think your season's over. But if you're going to keep Tyrod Taylor around, why have him on this $5.5 million cap hit? Just extend him.
I just don't know. I don't know how it ends up happening. Like, does Tyrod Taylor want an extension as a... I don't fucking know. Running back.
He's not going to
start. Well, yeah. Well, he might. Might go to some shitty team with drafts a quarterback.
Good for him.
Running back. We got to go a little quicker. Devin Singletary and Zach Moss. Drafted under Joe Shane as an assistant GM. They've been... Moss hasn't really been productive, but Devin Singletary has been productive in the NFL. DJ Dallas is someone who I liked out of Miami. He's had only 102 carries in his career, but he's had 62 targets, so he kind of has some receiving threat. 59 returns, too, so you get him as a receiver. Deion Jackson, former Daniel Jones and Andrew Thomas teammate, ended up starting for the Colts towards the end of the year, 30 catches on 34 targets, like more of a receiving back. Didn't rush very well. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's going to be out there.
Yeah. Meh.
Again, well, I'm talking almost solely backup options.
You just named me a lot of mid players, but I'm going to give you two players. Well, yeah,
it's backup running backs.
Well, Giants may not be looking for a backup running back next offseason, Bobby. They may be looking for a starter. And I'm going to give you two that I would be fine with starting. One, Antonio Gibson. We're talking a lot of Washington players. Antonio Gibson.
The Commanders don't even want to start Gibson.
And that is exactly what I want to talk about, because I think that's dumb. I think that is really dumb. I think Antonio Gibson is a very, very good receiving back. And why? Because he fumbled the ball in 2021. He had six fumbles in 2021.
Did he have a lot of fumbles?
I think fumbles is a similar like breath.
No,
of, like,
you can't
drops.
Say that about fumbles. You can't fumble the ball and be a running back. It's not like drops.
Don't fumble the ball. I mean, it's
they're
kind
turnovers.
Of like,
they're
kind
like
of like
interceptions.
Drops. It's kind of like drops as a receiver. Just like, dude, just don't drop the ball.
Yeah, but drops don't turn the ball over to the other team.
It could.
Fumble, you can't be a fumble guy.
The Evan Engram drop against the Eagles was a turnover.
But you can't be a fumble guy and be a starter in the NFL.
Well, he only had one last year, Bobby, so joke's on you. So joke's on you. He only had one, and he fixed it. Look at that. So Antonio Gibson, I'd be for it. He was a really efficient runner in 2021. 2022, not so much, but he kind of, maybe was frustrated with his role. And then I also have Damien Harris. He is no longer part of the Patriots, I don't think. So he's on a one-year deal. I liked him with the Patriots for the last couple of years. Ramondre Stevenson just being good and an all-around better back than him, you know, made him take his carries. So, but I'm for Damien Harris as well. I'm a big Damien Harris stan.
Defensive
not really
attack,
much of a receiver.
Let's go quick through this. Defensive tackle, Jordan Phillips with Buffalo. Ed Oliver's been good, not great. Leonard Williams and A'shaun Robinson don't have contracts for 2024, so right now we only have Dex and Nacho. So that could be a – defensive tackle could be a huge need for the Giants in 2024 if they don't keep Leonard Williams around.
Yeah.
Inside linebacker, Patrick Queen, man. Like, he was not good as their number one in Baltimore. He played better once Roquan Smith came around, and obviously he'd be the number two to Bobby Okereke. Let's look at his box score stats. 117 tackles for Patrick Queen last year. Now, having a lot of tackles does not make you a good inside linebacker. Tay Crowder had like 130 in 2021. 5 sacks. That's really good for an inside linebacker. Top
That's
of the league.
That's crazy good.
9 tackles for a loss. That's really good for an inside linebacker. 14 QB hits. That's really good for an inside linebacker. And then 2 interceptions. Interceptions are a little more random with linebackers, but that is good. Like, he has good playmaker numbers. He has this, like, the speed. And if you put him next to Bobby Okereke, you can kind of let him be more, a little more of a run and chase type player. Let him play faster, not have to diagnose so much. Wink Martindale liked him enough to sign off on drafting him in the first round at one point. Patrick Queen could be a solid number two inside linebacker option for cheap, solid inside linebacker option for the Giants.
Yeah, I originally had a little bit of a theory about Patrick Queen. It's like, are they just sending you on more blitzes because they don't want to give you any other assignments because they don't trust you to do that? And I don't necessarily think that was the case. I honestly just think he's a really good blitzer. He does a good job of getting QB hits, and he does a good job of getting sacks, which for an interior linebacker too, where you're not having the responsibilities of a one, that would be fun. You know, that's kind of like what you want to tell your interior linebackers to do, is just go run, be free. Speaking of go run and be free, two guys that I loved during the pre-draft process. One I can easily see walking. The other one, he may stick around. Logan Wilson may stick around. He's the starting linebacker for the Bengals. He's been good for the last couple years. He is going to be a free agent next year. And then Willie Gay Jr. From the Chiefs. So the Kansas City Chiefs have a few interior linebackers. They also have Drew Tranquil, who was signed this year to a one-year deal on the Chiefs as well. They just drafted Leo Chanel. The Chiefs have a bunch of interior linebackers that we'd like during the pre-draft process. But Willie Gay Jr. was a guy that I was like, he had some like off-the-field stuff, but I was willing to, hey, if the Giants want to draft him, I think it was 2020, second round of that draft, I was like, I would be for this. So Willie Gay Jr., Logan Wilson, Drew Tranquil, and then I also have like Corey Littleton has been like an on and off starter throughout his NFL career as well. He'll be a free agent at the interior linebacker spot.
What would you think about having two big contract linebackers
for this Giants team and how it's structured? It all depends on what happens in the interior D line room, Bobby, and what the depth chart looks like there, because we may have to spend a little bit more there. I would be for it. For how this Giants roster is constructed right now, I think I may be for it.
Yeah.
It depends what happens in the secondary, too. That's the key.
I think Patrick Queen was like top 10 for stack linebackers and tackles for loss last year. Cornerback, there's really not much good options.
No.
Christian Fulton of the Titans, he's allowed about 52% completion percentage against him the last couple of years, 440 yards essentially the last 2 years. Bryce Hall, the Jets fans love Bryce Hall, but he didn't play last year. There's really not good cornerback options out there, and usually there actually is some decent cornerback options in free agency.
Shaquille Griffin, Rocky Sin. Shaquille Griffin's from the Texans. Rocky Sin is from Baltimore, and I'll just give you my safety that I really like. I really like Jordan Whitehead. I liked him when he was with Tampa. He's now on a one-year, like $1.3 million deal with the Jets. I really like Jordan Whitehead. I like his physicality.
Safety. There's a lot of names out there. Buda Baker. Let's talk about the 2020 draft class. Sweet safety class, right? No first-rounders. Antoine Winfield Jr., Kyle Duggar, Jeremy Chinn, and Xavier McKinney, obviously, too. Like, Kyle Duggar, man, he would be a freak. I love Kyle Duggar. He's a free agent where it's like Bill Belichick lets guys go. I can see him being a guy that Bill Belichick never lets go in New England. I love Kyle Duggar.
He went to Washington?
No, Kyle Duggar was he played for like that no-name school. He was like a D2 guy. I think he played for Lenore Ryan.
It was, Lenore Ryan, yeah.
Hey, I knew that off rip. He was a big Anthony guy. Crazy. Anthony loved Kyle Duggar.
That's crazy that you just knew that.
He was a big Anthony guy. Antoine Winfield Jr., really like him. The Bucs could be in a weird spot where they don't want to pay a safety. So we do see good safeties get there. Chuck Clark obviously played under Wink Martindale with the Ravens. Some big names there at safety. All right, Justin, we've went so freaking long.
We got to eventually. I thought of like We got to talk like a little bit of OTAs, like Nick McLeod moving to safety and stuff like that. So there are some things we have to talk about with OTAs, but hopefully by the time Monday comes around, maybe we'll get a little bit more info and stuff to actually talk about from there.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll be back on Tuesday. Not exactly sure what we're going to have for then, but we will be there then. We appreciate you guys. We will see you then. Enjoy your weekend. Until then, let's go Big Blue.